where I would see old people without hope committing suicide, just jumping out of the boat and in the ocean. The desperation of the moms in the port, just holding and hanging their children, please take my child, save my child. And there was a fire and shooting all over the place. And there's no way to describe to you guys what that means. For many years, I couldn't see any kind of movie about wars. And one day I made myself watch the Hotel Rwanda, and was like that, exactly like that. I had many friends being killed, many friends being raped. They would go in the houses and they would burn the babies in front of the moms, and the atrocities that were done was just unbelievable, and I cannot describe to you. One thing I can tell you, God healed my memory. You know, when things like that happen, you don't forget, but you can be healed. You are healed. He heals. Here I am. I am healed. And it's just amazing. So we arrived in the capital. Let me get water. We arrived in the capital, and with absolute nothing, no money, just the clothes on our bodies. We couldn't take anything with us. And there was a friend of my uncle that had a house, and he said, just stay here and we'll see what happened. We didn't know where we were going. Didn't have any idea. My dad and my uncle, one day would go to the airport, another day would go to the port and see what was going on, for what country that we would go. We didn't have any idea. So after a week, they went to the airport, and there they said there was a lady that was trying to put together an amount of people so that there were family in Brazil that had family in Angola, and they asked an air company to bring an airplane to Angola in order to take their families. But that airline only would send an airplane to Angola if the airplane would come back full. So that lady was in the airport asking, oh, do you want to go to Brazil? Do you want to go to Brazil? So she met my dad and my uncle, and we were in 12. So that's how we went to Brazil. There was nobody. We didn't know anybody. We didn't have anything. So we went as refugees. When we arrived there, we left my town in September 23rd, 1976, and we arrived in Brazil in 1st October. And I was 16 years old. And again, we arrived in Brazil. We didn't have anything. We didn't know anything. It was a Sunday, 1 o'clock in the morning. And that is the cool thing. We didn't have money. We didn't have anything. And we were there. We were waiting for the Portuguese embassy to show up, because they told us that they would show up, but they didn't. And then comes a man from nowhere. Go and talk with my dad and said, do you have anybody? Do you know anybody? And my dad said, nope, I don't know anybody. I'm here and I don't know what's going to happen. And he took money from his pocket, gave to my dad and called a cab and gave the money for the cab. And he told the cab a certain hotel that was close to the embassy, and gave my dad enough money for us to stay 1 week in that hotel. Now, I believe it was an angel. Yes! I love this story, you know? I love it because, and I didn't find anybody. We didn't see anybody else anymore. I mean, it was gone. The guy was gone. We didn't see him again. Over. I love this. Okay. Are you having kisses there? Are you having kisses? Okay, good. We went to the embassy, and then there we had just a week there, and we did, as I told, we didn't have money. The hotel was paid for a week, so during the breakfast we'll take the bananas, and my mom would give us as a lunch, because we didn't have money to pay for lunch or anything, and we would go to the embassy. There they gave us all the documentation, permanent documentation. It didn't happen like here, believe me, for as a Brazilian people. But I didn't have a citizen documentation of Brazil, but I had a permanent documentation. We all had, and now we had a week in the hotel. The day before they finished the money, we were in the embassy, and again we said, okay, God, what is going to happen now? My dad was beginning to be really concerned, and I saw tears in his eyes, and we didn't know what to do. My mom even sought to offer herself to work in the hotel to help pay for the expenses, and we didn't know what to do. Anyway, we were that way in the embassy, and then another man came. And he said, what's going on? And my dad explained to him. And the next day, that guy came to the hotel with a van. And he said, go inside. I have a place for you guys to stay. And we went. He had a brother. Now, the name of the brother is amazing. The name of his brother is Gentle, Mr. Gentle. Isn't that funny? He had a bakery in the most famous place, rich place in the coast, in Rio de Janeiro. And he was building an apartment, and the construction was kind of stopped. So he told us to go and live there. We only could live like for a month there. And so we stayed there for a month. And meanwhile, that Mr. Gentle had other friends. They got a job for my dad and my uncle. And our life began to go on. My mom, because she was a teacher in a nun school in Angola, she, for some reason, she found a nun school in Rio de Janeiro. And when she shared our stories with the nuns there, they accepted us. It was the most expensive school in Rio de Janeiro, and they accepted us for free. And because we finished the eighth grade in Angola, more or less, I think, and when we went to Rio de Janeiro, we began at 11th grade, because we made all the tests to see what grade we were. And we continued to be, they said that we could go to the 12th grade, but because of our age, it would be too much, so we stayed in the 11th, and we were the best students there. So we had a lot of fun that time, because our life was beginning to happen, and we were not still aware of the traumas and everything. And, you know, teenagers, everything was new, everything was fun, everything was whoa. And God was really taking care of us. My dad and my mom and my uncle and my aunt were the ones who had to support the family. We didn't care. We were just having fun. We'll take our bikinis inside of our clothes. We'll go to the school, and we'll leave the school. We all go to the beach and just stay there getting our tan and all that. So we had a lot of fun. We had a group of Portuguese people that also were from Angola. And so we were kind of a team. And we would go and sing in the buses Portuguese songs. And it was so funny. But anyway, the wounds began to come out when my dad had to go to São Paulo, because they were able to get a car and send a car to Brazil. We had a Peugeot in Angola, and another my uncle also had. So they sent those cars to Brazil, but my dad had to work for 2 years to be able to pay the fee to get out the cars, and then they sold the cars and they bought a company that they still have, that company in São Paulo. They have that company for 33 years, and from that company, they were able to pay for our colleges and for everything to help us in times of difficulty and all that stuff. So that was amazing what God did with us. He really blessed us. He blessed the people who blessed us. The Mr. Gentle, from one bakery, in 5 years, he had 15 spread around Rio de Janeiro and was between one of the most richest guys in that town. And he, one time, we would go to their parties when we were living in Rio de Janeiro. They would receive us with so much love. And one time, Mr. Gentle went to my dad and said, "I am so grateful that I was able to bless you guys and to help you guys, because after that, I'm just so blessed." So it was amazing what God did in their lives. And amazing what God did in our lives. So we did school, we grew up. And when we arrived in São Paulo, we ended up moving to São Paulo. We finished high school and moved to São Paulo. And my dad said to me that actually what happened, I was very focused in my studies. I made my choice of not making any friends, because the pain of losing friends had been so great in my life that I couldn't have friends, because the pain of losing them would be too painful for me. So I shut down myself and I said, "I don't want friends." People would come to me and I would help them, but I would not be their friends. I didn't want friends because I was afraid. So when I went there in São Paulo, I was focused in my studies. I was the best student ever. I was crazy. And I would discuss and fight with the teachers. If they would give me 1.9 and I deserve 10, I would go and say, "I want 10. And I was like, I was crazy. And my dad, my college was languages. I studied language. I studied Spanish, French, and English. My native language is Portuguese. So I really want to improve my English. Was not that good. It's still not that good, but that's okay. My dad paid for me to study for 6 months in South Africa. So I traveled to South Africa, spent 6 months there, came back. And when I came back, my dad said, "Look, your brother, he's studying medicine. And for my brother to study medicine is full time. So he couldn't be working." And my dad said, "Would you be willing to work help us to pay for the expenses?" And I said, "Sure." So I began to work in an air company in an office. And so I would work every day and I would study in the evening. And, you know, I didn't have cars. People in Brazil, they don't have as many cars as they have here, because they have transportation a lot, buses and all that. But sometimes you get tired of getting transportation. And one of the people, one guy there, came to me one day and said, "Look, I have to go to my home. It's very close to where you are studying. Would you like a ride?" And I said, "Sure, I can go." I didn't see anything wrong because he was working there. Well, on the way there, he really didn't go to the school. is stopped in a place, and there I was raped. I was 19 years old, 18, 19. The problem with that was you have all that thought about you want to be virgin for your husband, you want to keep yourself. And I had already so many traumas in my life that I didn't need that. My relationship with my mom was really very hard, and I didn't have a good relationship with my parents at all. So I didn't tell them anything. Well, a month later, more or less, a little bit less, not only that, I realized I was pregnant. And then I had to tell my mom. So I went to my mom and I told her the story, and she didn't believe me. She didn't believe me I was raped. She didn't believe I really didn't want that. She said, I'm going to pay for your abortion. Because I don't want people to think that we are bad parents. So she really didn't think about me. She was thinking about her name, their name, whatever. And I did make an abortion. And that fact affected my life forever, in the sense of I don't want to have anything to do with men. I don't want anything to do with anything. I was done. And my relationship with my mom got worse and worse because it was like a secret and nobody would tell in the house. My father, until today, he doesn't know. My sister and my brother, they know. So in 1981, November 1981, I was in all this mess, working. I moved, I left that job, I went to another job, and I moved away, and I was working in a company that deals with stockings and market, stock market, and I was really good on that, and I loved that job. And my boss actually was the one who led me to Jesus. He saw me working and all that. One day I was telling him my story, and he said, well, do you like to accept Jesus in your life? And I said, well, I think I have it. But he explained a little bit better, more, and I realized I didn't have Jesus. So I accepted Jesus. And immediately something happened, because I always loved to study. Something in my heart happened that I just want to go and go into a Bible study institute that was like right in front, the other side of the road where I was working. And there was Pastor Sherlock's. I love Pastor Sherlock's. He's my first pastor. And every time I go to Brazil, he makes me go to his church and to the institute to speak there. He is my pastor for 35 years. And I love that family. And I go there to honor him, to look, here I am. I always tell people that I am his favorite. Actually, I'm the favorite of everybody. I cannot help. That's just me. It's just me. I'm the favorite of my husband. Right, baby? Yeah. Well, I began to study there, and that guy that was my boss, Roberto was his name, he began to study there too. So we would begin to do everything together. Let's do everything together. Let's go. And obviously, because Jesus was in my heart began to heal. 4 months later in that relationship, actually, he asked me to date. And I said, well, okay, I think it's okay. So we began to date. And 4 months later in that relationship, I was his secretary. And His phone rings, and he was not there. I went to answer, and for my surprise, was his wife. And I discovered that he had two sons. You can imagine my trust. You can imagine my heart. I said, you know, this is not working. This is not working at all. A guy that talks about Jesus and does that about Jesus and all that stuff about Jesus and do that, I mean, was crazy. But, you know, my heart was in love. And the enemy works very well. And for 5 years, I struggled with that relationship. And Pastor Sherlock and his wife were there with me all the time. And finally, I said, I've had enough. I cannot, I just, it's just too much for me. In that time, in that period, I moved to another church. And there was a guy there. His name was Sergio. And he came to me and began to prophesy over me. And to make the story short, he became my husband. In 6 months, we were married. Now, you're going to say, man, that's too fast. Yeah, I realize now it was too fast. You are right. But I asked God for every single confirmation at the point of detail that when I told him, I want to wait, I want to see if God confirms what he's telling. He traveled for a week. In that week, I prayed every single day and I fasted. God would give me one verse in the morning, another verse in the evening. And when we met together, the same verses that God gave to me, he gave to him exactly in the same days. I knew for sure that was God's plan for us to get married. Now, I want to make just an open here and say, people come to me and say, well, didn't work, you got divorced, but how can you say that was God's will if you got divorced? I say, it's simply because it was his choice not to be healed. You see, we got married. We had three children. They are the best children in the world, my three children. I can tell you that. They are beautiful inside and out. I'm extremely proud of them. Larissa, Deborah, my son Ivan is 22 years and he's in Brazil, finishing college, a great guy. But we began to work our relationship. Was great in the beginning, but there was so much pride in him, and he didn't want to be healed. He didn't want to go through the process because it's painful. And I would ask him. We were working with the inner healing. See, I was so traumatized with the war and everything that God began to heal me, using me to heal others. I was, my passion for people, my passion to heal people and to see people coming out of the darkness is so great, was so great that I would pay any price necessary to bring out any person from the darkness and the pit they were. And so I was just in love for that calling. And I could see what was wrong, but because of the pride and because of the things he couldn't accept. And then we became pastors. Got worse. Because although we had the skills to be pastors, all the knowledge, I did 4 years in that Bible Institute, and then I went to another 4 years in another. I was like crazy studying because it was my passion. Is my passion yet? Still is. I love studying. I love going through the scriptures. I know God stirs stuff in my heart, and I receive healing. I receive so many, much from him when I'm like just there studying. I can be with the books forever. And then, not that, but then I go and give away. So, with my husband, there was so much pride. There was, he didn't want help, he refused to be helped. As pastors, we were pastors for 6 years in a church for 10,000 people. And there were more churches around in Brazil. And we were in the leadership, but we worked with gangs and prostitutes in São Paulo. And we would be awakened like 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning because they would call us and ask for help. And we would go and help them and all that. So we were really very involved in helping people, ministering in the streets and loving people. But was just a mask because when we would go home, our relationship was a mess.